Hello, and welcome to Grace Bible Church Sermon Audio Podcast. Grace Bible is a non-denominational Bible-teaching church located in Rockwell, North Carolina. Our motto is relationship, not religion. At Grace, we emphasize the peace found only through a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, which is based upon personal faith in Him, not based on our religious performance. We appreciate you joining us, and trust that you are encouraged today by the teaching, as our pastors give practical application of principles from God's Word.
So I do have a message that they'll share in just a moment, but before we do that, let's just have a word of prayer for our graduates. If you'll join me, we'll just lift them up today with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for these four graduates today. We're thankful for Mia, we're thankful for Isidro, we're thankful for Levi, and we're thankful for Davis. For their lives and that you've allowed our lives to intersect through this ministry. Pray for wisdom for them, for direction, for accountability. Father, for you to hold them in your hand, to guide them in their future. Lord, that these verses that each have selected that mean something to them, Lord, that you would use your word, these verses and others, to help guide them and shape them and shepherd them along this path. Lord, we just lift them up to you. We commit their lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that being said, this morning, we're going to look in the Word of God this morning. As we think about graduation, think about these young folks, and they've got hopefully a long future ahead of them, a bright future. And they are ready to take off, spread their wings, and fly, so to speak. It made me think about flying, and I've always thought airplanes were really cool, how they operate. And, you know, here in about a month, some of us, and actually Levi will be on this trip, we're going to Costa Rica, and we'll be flying on a big jet, and that thing, I don't know if you knew this, but those things fly at like between 500 and 600 miles per hour. And it's interesting, you get those big hunks of metal with hundreds of people in them flying through the air hundreds of miles an hour. Like, what keeps them up in the air? And, like, what keeps them from running into each other? Like, you think that'd be a big problem, right? If you run in planes, run into each other, well, it would be a big problem. So what keeps them on track? What keeps them safe? What helps them to get up safely, to operate safely, and to land safely? Well, a lot of that has to do with the pilot, but a lot of it has to do with air traffic control. And so when these big jets go and they take off, air traffic control has radar. They pick them up on radar, and they have radio communication with pilots. And one of the things that they do, which, not to totally nerd out on you here, but one of the things that they do is they assign these planes, they assign them a vector. And so they'll communicate with the pilot, and they'll say, the name of the vessel that they're flying in. They'll say, the air traffic control will assign them a compass heading. They'll say, you need to go like so many degrees north. They'll give them a direction. And then they'll give them a magnitude. They'll give them like how far to fly, how fast to fly, right? So air traffic control gives them all that information so that they can not only operate safely, that they can avoid other aircraft that are flying. They don't crash and burn. And it also, if they follow the directions, the vector that they're given, they'll actually approach the airport where they want to make a safe landing. They'll approach it from the right direction, like depending on which way the wind's blowing and the crosswinds, all this kind of stuff. Air traffic control helps them sort all that out. So they maintain radio communication. Air traffic control assigns them a vector, a direction and magnitude, and they operate safely, and they land safely. And, it made me think about, as we think about our graduates today, they've got hopefully quite a long and successful, rewarding trajectory in their future. Like all of us, we want to arrive safely at our destination to go be with Jesus, and we want to do it. And we want to make sure that we're on the right path. We want to make sure that we're following the vector that our Heavenly Father gives us, that we're following the path, the compass heading that He gives us, that we're maintaining the trajectory and the speed and the direction and the velocity that He has given us. So following His direction. So with that Kind of throwing that out there. Question, where are you now? Where are you headed? And how do I stay on track? Those are really the three basic questions. Where are you now? Where are you headed? And how do I stay on track? So as we think about that, not just from an aircraft perspective, but from the perspective, a spiritual perspective, several passages come to mind. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read the first few verses. And this passage, I think, really addresses some of those basic questions. Where are we now? Where are you headed? And how do I stay on track? So if you read with me, first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So as we think about where are we now, the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2 describe a place that we really don't want to be. Okay, we don't want to be separated from our Creator. We don't want to be lost and dead in our trespasses and sins. And here is where the good news of Jesus comes in. When we read verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Let's pause there for a moment. So where are you now? Through the past several years, as we've had a chance to minister to your children, especially the four that we had up here today, these are things that we've discussed. Where are you now? Are you sure that if you died that you would go to heaven? We've discussed spiritual things. Each have different times and places professed faith in the Lord Jesus. And like many of you here today, maybe all of you here today, we have been transferred from death to life. Part of answering the question, where are you now, deals with what's your position. Okay, just like the aircraft, you know, when we're figuring out, the air traffic control's figuring out where to direct the air traffic, part of that is figuring out where they are now. Okay, that's important. We need to know where they're located right now to be able to assign them a direction. Similarly, with the Christian life, okay, we need to know where we are. We need to know where we are with the Lord. We need to know that we are in Christ, as the Bible speaks or calls it. Being in Christ is very important. Because God, because of his great mercy and love, saw that we were apart from him, God did something about it. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to come and die upon the cross to pay for our sins. And he died on the cross, died a death that we deserved. He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day. Jesus also taught and preached that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And the way that we access the eternal life that can be ours through Jesus is by faith. And that's what this passage is talking about, that we must believe upon the Lord Jesus. We must put our faith, trust, and confidence in him and what he did. And when we do that, he changes our position, our spiritual starting location. Where are you now? Where are you headed? How do you stay on track? The first question that we all need to answer for ourselves as individuals, whether we're graduates or not graduates, is what is my starting location? The Bible seems to indicate in the passage that we just read that everyone's starting location is dead in trespasses and sins. And God has done something about that, but we must receive it. Okay, we must receive that by faith. And then and only then, really, do we need to go ahead and go on and ask the other questions, because that's the most important one. The most important question deals with your spiritual starting location. But for the graduates we have today, all of them have professed faith in Jesus at one point in time. And they're all starting in a great position. Okay, a great starting position. And launching from the position of being in Christ as being a saved person is so awesome. You know, we just sang, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me, for me. God has gifted you the best starting point possible for a bright future. No matter what that future may hold, it might hold different careers. It might be nursing. It might be welding. It might be soldiering. It might be fishing. Whatever that may be, God has gifted you the best starting position for a bright spiritual future. All of us have been given different lives, different talents, different status, different finances, different education, and that's all well and good. But spiritually speaking, we have a similar starting point in that we are in Christ. And that is a wonderful and a beautiful and an important thing to have in common. So we've really kind of dealt with the first question, where are we now? Let's talk now about where we're headed. Again, the aircraft that fly on the radar and the air traffic control is helping them get safely to their destination, they're each assigned a vector, so a direction and then a speed. Well, we see that for the Christian life also in the pages of Scripture. The passage that we're in right now that we just read, I'd like to read the very next verse because I think it deals with that same topic. It says, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What's the vector of the Christian life look like? What does that trajectory or that path, what does it look like? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that it involves good works. That once we're saved, we're not saved by good works, but for those who have been saved, good works should characterize our path. And so it says furthermore that we were created for these good works, and that God has prepared them beforehand that we should walk in them. So not only do we have a direction, but we have a magnitude. We are to walk in good works, right? So good works is the direction. But walking, think about walking a path that there's constant, might be slow, but it's constant forward progress, right? We're to continue to walk in those good works until Jesus takes us home. And so that's our trajectory. So where are you headed? Where are you headed? Good works is the compass heading. We can be busy with lots of things in our lives that might be related to work or hobbies or things of that nature, but we never want to forget that the Christian life is about pursuing the good works that Jesus has for us. Spirit-led activity, loving others, working at keeping the commands of Christ to love one another, and we must walk in those works. We must continue to push forward as long as the Lord blesses us with another day. And so the Christian life is a path that we walk. I like to think of a slow, steady pace, deliberate, pressing on, forward motion, not backward, not stopped. Think about the plane for a moment. If the plane were to be flying through the sky at 600 miles an hour and then all of a sudden just stop, it wouldn't be a very good day for the passengers, right? They must maintain forward motion, or we're going to crash and burn. Same is true with the Christian life. We become complacent and we forget to move forward. We forget to progress. We get distracted Okay, we can very easily get off track and bad things can happen. Another verse we'll look at today on the idea of where we're headed is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. So it's just over just a few pages. Chapter 3, verse 12 of Philippians. Paul also writes here on the idea of the Christian life having magnitude and direction. Says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. I love this passage because Paul, on speaking on the path of the Christian life, that vector or trajectory, seems to indicate that even as advanced as the Apostle Paul was, I mean, he's one of these pillars of the faith. I mean, he suffered for the cause of Christ. He wrote a lot, large part of our New Testament. Paul never looked at the Christian life as long as he was alive, like in his skin. He never thought of it as like, you know, my best years are behind me and now I don't have anything to offer. Hey, Paul never got that attitude. I mean, Paul, up until the end, saw his need to continue pressing forward. Okay, and I think those of us who graduated some years ago might have a tendency to think, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of retire and I'm going to take it easy and I'm just not going to hit it too hard. Okay, well, we don't want to take that attitude with the Christian life. Paul tells us we need to continue to press forward. We need to continue. The physical activity aspect might look a little different. That's okay. But we need to continue to press forward. We need to continue to advance, just like that aircraft. You don't want to turn the engines off before you've safely arrived at your destination. Pressing on, straining forward, pressing on toward the goal of the for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Paul says this is a mature way of thinking. A couple other passages here we'll look at here since we've got a moment. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. If you flip on towards the back of your Bible a little bit farther, 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14 through 16 reads as follows. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So again, on the idea that the Christian life has a vector, what is that direction? What does it look like? It looks like holy. Okay, what compass heading is it? Holy. It looks like Jesus. That's our compass heading. We need to consider where we're headed. Is it holy? A lot of times, you know, graduates, I know you guys know this, you hear a lot of times people say, I just want to do what makes me happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy, per se, but don't make happy your vector. God is much more concerned about your holiness than he is about your happiness. Not that God doesn't care if you're happy, but he's more concerned that you're holy. Okay, is your life holy? What is that? And by the way, what does that mean to be holy? How do we know what holy is? Well, being holy, as the scripture talks about it, really simply means being set apart, special for God's service. You know, at home we have a set of dishes that we dig out every Christmas. We got them at an auction, I mean, for like $5. But they're like a Christmas print, you know, china. We don't ever use them the rest of the year. But they're special, not because they were expensive, but because we dig them out at Christmas time, and that's, you know, what we use. It's special, set apart for that particular event. And you and I, in a similar fashion, have been redeemed by the Lord and set apart for something special. And that is that Jesus Christ would put his life in us and shine through us to a world that doesn't know him. We're set apart for that service. And God is really concerned about, more so than about us being happy, that we keep ourselves set apart for that service. And so what does that look like? Well, it means, as we've read already, pursuing good works, spiritual things, right things, things that glorify God, not walking a path of sin or pride or selfishness or questionable activity. Peter addresses it here. He says, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And so this idea of getting on a different vector, it's really easy to do. Okay, there's one direction, and it's God's direction. It's holiness. But getting on a different vector is really easy. People do it all the time. You hear people say, do what makes you feel good. Follow your heart. Trust in yourself. All that will get you into trouble. Prisons, rehab centers, courtrooms, juvenile detention, probation offices are full of people who follow that advice. Sin takes people in a direction that is destructive. And the only safe vector forward is the one that God tells us about in his word, and that's be holy as I'm holy. Being available and occupied with what God has, not just with what I want to do. Keeping my vessel pure, not defiling it. A lot of things can get us off track in the Christian life. And we could make a list. The scripture makes lists in several different places of things that'll get us off track. Everything from drunkenness and sexual immorality to pride and gossip. I mean, these are things that get us off of the heading that we need to be on. So that's something to consider. Now, a lot of you kids, especially our graduates today, you know, you're thinking about what you're going to do next. And I've heard nurse, I've heard soldier, I've heard welder, I've heard, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. There's been kind of a mix of all those things. And that's okay, right? I think, where are you headed? When I say that question, I'm not necessarily talking about what career you're going into. You could be a doctor, a nurse, a soldier, a business owner, whatever it is. Be holy as he is holy. Follow Jesus as you do whatever it is that you're going to do. It's okay to not know what you're going to do when you grow up, but whatever that thing ends up being, be holy. Follow your God-given calling. Use the gifts, the talents, the abilities that he's given you, but stay on that vector. Do it holy, if that makes sense. You can be a godly dentist, a godly welder, a godly farmer, godly stay-at-home mom, godly working mom, godly missionary, godly veterinarian, a godly accountant, a godly lawyer. They're out there. Godly musician. I mean, there's lots of different things that you can do, but the most important part is the first part, godly. The career choice is not nearly as important as the other, but you walk in the calling of the Lord. Another passage to look at here quickly is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10. There's a passage here, and I like this one. It says, Paul writes in verse 10, he says, now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. Excuse me. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you were doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So again, part of that direction, the calling that we have in the Christian life, is to exhibit brotherly love. Ties right in with the good works that he talked about. And that we should excel in them, he says, more and more. So again, there's that idea of continued forward progress. But as we do that, he says, live quietly, mind your own affairs, and work with your hands. So the idea here is that you and I should find something constructive to do. You know, we'll sit around on the couch and watch TV with Riley or whatever, and I'll start to get up, and Riley will say to me, so where are you going? I said, well, I guess I probably should do something constructive. Right? So I think there's something to being busy, but also being busy with the right things. You know, I think the idea here that Paul's getting at in this letter is that we need to find something constructive to do. We need to make our own living if possible. We need to find something to do to maybe earn our living as we're following God's call, to be employed with something. You know, it's not a Bible verse, by the way, but the idea that idle hands are the devil's workshop, there is a lot of truth to that. I mean, God wants us to be busy with good things. If we don't do that, I mean, we're never in neutral, are we? Our lives are never neutral. Like our minds are, even if our hands aren't moving, our feet aren't moving, our mind is moving. Like if we're awake, we're constantly engaged in something, even if it's just watching TV. I think we need to be aware of what it is that we're setting our mind to, our hands to, our feet to. Be deliberate about that, to be employed in something positive while we're showing brotherly love. Lastly here, we talked about the two questions. Where are you at? Like, what's my position? We've talked about the direction, right? Where am I headed? Let's talk about how to stay on track. We've kind of covered a little bit about this, but I'll share a passage with you here from 2 Timothy. It's a passage that you know well, I'm sure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul lets us in on the secret that it's the Word of God. That's what keeps us on track. Staying connected to the Word of God and staying connected to the God of the Word. He writes this, 2 Timothy 3:15 says, the sacred writings, he's talking about this book. He says, they're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. So how do we stay on track? You know, we think about the planes that get in the sky. We discover their starting position, right? Where are they at now? They get assigned a vector, so they know how to travel safely. Like, how do we stay on track? Like, how do we check to see that we're not getting, like, off to the left or to the right or going too fast, going too slow? How do we know if we're on track? Well, I don't know how to do it with planes, but I know that the Christian life tells us right here, we need to be connected to the Word of God. That's how we're going to know if we're on track. So the scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, training in righteousness. So that's how we're going to know if we're on that vector, if we're on that path, staying connected to the Word of God. A lot more that we could share with this, and I don't want the food to get cold. But whether you're a graduate today, you're not a graduate today, if you graduated 30 years ago, 50 years ago, or maybe haven't graduated yet, we've got a pretty good crop coming up for next year, by the way, of graduates to come and do this next year. So regardless of where you are, age-wise, graduation-wise, the three questions still are important to all of us. Where are you now? Is your position in Christ? Okay. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If not, you need to do that. Okay, that your starting position is the most important of the three questions. Second question, where are you headed? Are you walking in good works? Is your vector biblically aligned? Walking in good works. Maybe it's not a question of you were on the right vector, but has forward progress stopped? Because we need to press on. That's part of where we're headed. We need to continue to press forward, not stopping, keeping going. And then how do I stay on track, right? The third question, knowing what the Word of God says, staying connected to it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for your Word. I'm thankful for the salvation that's available through your Son, Jesus. Thankful that it is by grace that we access it through faith. It's not as a result of our works. Your work, not our works. Thankful for that. We're thankful for today for the gift of salvation. We're thankful today that these graduates know you as their Savior. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the starting position that you have gifted us all through being in your Son. Lord, thankful today for Mia. Thankful for Isidro, Davis, and Levi. Pray for them, Lord, for a bright future. For Lord, for them to pursue your path for their life. Help them to be holy in whatever occupation, whatever ministry, whatever path that you put them on, Lord, may they do it holy and in a godly way. Lord, pray for a good time of fellowship today as we go and we eat together. We thank you for those that have prepared the food today, and we just thank you for it, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of Grace Bible Church, we'd like to say we appreciate you listening in, and we pray that it has been an encouragement to you. For more information on Grace Bible Church, please visit us at gracebiblerockwell.com. Or if you're in the area, we'd love to have you stop by and visit us.